appreciate your presence this evening and a beautiful Lord's Day. And when members are missing, we miss them very much and hope they'll soon be back with us. We're going to miss Lloyd and June while they're away and others who are missing. But we'd like to study this evening on the subject, "Is not the whole land before thee?" In Genesis, the 13th chapter, and verse 9, in this chapter, Abraham and Sarah, and Abraham's nephew, Lot, they were journeying together, and they had many sheep. In fact, they had so many sheep that the land could not feed all the sheep, so there was strife between the herdsmen. And so Abraham said to Lot, they need to separate, go in different directions. And here in verse 9 of Genesis 13, Abraham said to Lot, "Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." And so here Abraham gives Lot the choice. He could go to the right or he could go to the left. But they needed to separate. Abraham didn't want any strife between them or their herdsmen. And so he had to make a choice here. We know that our forefathers came to this country seeking for a better life, to have the freedom to worship God as the Bible teaches. They had the freedom in this country. God may have allowed this to aid in the restoration of the Lord's church. We know the Bible tells us that there would be a departure from the faith, there would be a falling away. And this came to pass. Yes, there had been a falling away and departure. And there were men in this country who wanted to do away with the creeds of men and speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. And so many in this country went back to the Bible to teach and practice only what the Bible taught. A whole new land was before Lot in our lesson. He was at the fork of the road in his life. And Abraham asked him, "Is not the whole land before thee?" Yes, all the land there, take your choice. He had an opportunity here. He had an opportunity, and the question was, how was he going to use this opportunity that he was given? Notice some events before and after this question. In his decision, he looked toward Sodom. He journeyed toward Sodom, and he dwelt in Sodom. No doubt he looked out over the land. He saw that there was a lot of water for his sheep. He probably thought, well, it was better to go in that direction toward Sodom. But he looked toward Sodom, he journeyed toward Sodom, and he dwelt in Sodom. He didn't actually have to go and live in Sodom. Because of his decision, some of his family burned in Sodom when God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He was mocked by his sons-in-law. He was captured and rescued by Abraham. His heart was vexed because of their wicked deeds. It troubled him because of the wicked people there in the city of Sodom. He fled the city. His wife was turned into a pillar of salt. She looked back, and they were told not to look back. He begot sons of his own daughters. Lot made a bad choice when he went to the wicked city of Sodom. The land is before thee. Make a choice. We must be careful about the place that we put our family in. We need to be careful where we raise our children. Lot had unlimited opportunities, and he wasted his land. Lot could have made wise choices like Abraham did and had a good life with good people, but he didn't. We also have unlimited opportunities. And we at different stages in our life must face the question, is not the whole land before us? How will we use the land that is set before us, the opportunities that we have in life? What can you do with your land? Well, we must be a good steward. Christians are stewards of God, and He has placed the things that we have, and we're responsible for those things that He's given us. And we're to be a good, faithful steward. Jesus, in a parable in Luke, the 20th chapter, He tells us about a man who planted a vineyard. He led it forth to husbandmen, and he went into a far country. He sent servants three times who were beaten and mistreated. And then he sent his son who was killed. The owner of the vineyard, it was said, he shall come and destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to others. Yes, they were not faithful stewards of this man. They did not accept the servants that came or his son. Christians are stewards of God, and we must be faithful stewards. We have responsibilities that we're to do. In Titus 1 and verse 7, the bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money. And so a elder or a bishop is the steward of God with responsibilities. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so God expects us to be faithful stewards of His. Are we going to waste our land as Lot did? Make bad decisions as Lot did? A new land is before you when you leave home and you go to college. Our children grow up. Here at Pisgah, we've seen many children grow up and become adults. And many of our young people are going off to college. And at this time in life, one is usually considered to be an adult. When someone finishes high school, we usually think of them as being an adult. Someone has sacrificed and given you an opportunity. Your mother, your father has raised you. They've given you those things you needed in this life. And they're encouraging you when you go to college to be a good student. The whole land is before you, and you have a great opportunity to go to college. College can be good if we use it in the right way. What some do when they leave home and they go to school. There's some that don't even register when their parents think that they're in school. They're not even going to college, and their parents think they are. There's some that go wild. They get involved with the wrong crowds. They drink. They use drugs. They engage in fornication. They live wicked lives. There's some that when they go to college, they don't study. They play around, and then they flunk out of school. And there's some that forget about Christ and His church. They become unfaithful even though they had good background of spiritual things. And of course, there are those here at Pisgah, I believe, that recognize their opportunity and they work hard. They prepare themselves to make a living and to be a light in the world. Yes, when young people, they grow up and they go to college and they graduate from college, then they get themselves a good job, and they live the Christian life, and this is good. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a lampstand. He gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And so young people, they go to school, they go to college, and they get a job, and they're to live a faithful Christian life and be a bright light in the community. Also, it's a new land. It's before you when you're prepared to make a living. After you graduate and you're out of school, or some of you even while you're going to school, are working at a job. And you can work and make a good living and help your fellow man. Ephesians 4 and verse 28, Let him that stole steal no more. Rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And so we're to work and do that which is good, and sometimes we can help others who are in need of help. You can use your training to work in the Lord's church. Many young men and young women, and young men, they can train, they can preach and teach and do many things in the church. Many have become involved in the world, and they get deeper and deeper in sin. They're not interested in God or the church. Many have wasted their training and ability to help Christ in the church. Yes, some members, after they leave home, and then after a while they leave the church and become unfaithful to God. They're wasting the training, their ability that they have. They're so busy doing worldly things, they don't take the time to serve God. Some have taken advantage of their opportunities. They work and they provide for their families. In Matthew 6 and 33, Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Yes, every Christian, especially the young people, they go to school and they get out of school, they're to continue to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Help others in need and have happy families and a happy life. Is not the whole land before you? Yes, you have many opportunities. A new land is before you when you recover from a serious illness. Several of us here have had surgery. We've had operations. Mary had a bypass surgery, and I had open bypass surgery, and Morris has had surgeries, and others. Yes, it's a serious time. A serious illness brings a period of serious thinking. My wife also had surgery on her liver. They took out over half of her liver out. And so these are serious times when you know that you're going to have surgery. We don't know that if we'll live through that surgery or not. We notice Hezekiah back in Isaiah 38, verses 1 through 6. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, "Go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city." And so God heard Hezekiah's prayer when Hezekiah thought that he was going to die. He said, "I'll give you 15 more years." I remember after I'd had a heart attack, laying in the hospital, and I was thinking about what Hezekiah said. And I prayed to God that he might allow me to live longer. And it has been many years since I had the heart attack. I think about 27 years. But many prayed for me, and God heard those prayers. When one faces major surgery, knows that they may not survive, they do some serious thinking. Many have faced death and recovered due to God's providence through prayer, through doctors and the medicine. Yes, we should be thankful. Think of the times that you or your loved ones were sick and you prayed for deliverance and they recovered. Yes, God answers our prayers. Many times, I'm sure that all of us have been sick and recovered. During times of doubt about life, we make promises to God. Do we keep those promises that we make to God? Some forget their promises, and others have completely changed their lives for the better. Many have recovered to face a new land. Also, a new land is before you when you marry and you form a new home, a new family. Yes, in Matthew 19 and 5, Jesus said, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. They two shall become one flesh." Yes, this a new land. When a young man, a young woman, they meet and they get married and have a family, they become one flesh. When a new home is formed, every opportunity is before you to have a Christian home with God's blessings and promises. In most cases, when the grandparents and the parents are Christians, the children become Christians. We notice Timothy's grandmother and mother were Christians. Then Timothy also became a Christian. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, Paul says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, I'm persuaded in you also." And so it's wonderful when grandparents are Christians and the parents are Christians. And most often the children will become Christians. In the home, the parents have an opportunity to train and teach their children. In Proverbs 22 and verse 6, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it." Ephesians 6 and 4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." When you marry and have children, the whole land is before you. It's a wonderful opportunity to raise your children. Are we going to waste it? Are we going to be a good steward of God? Also, a new land is before you when a child is born into the home. Yes, when you have a child, a new baby is born. God has given you a precious soul to care for. How are you going to shape it? You have responsibility to teach and correct and provide for your child. A child is a great blessing that God has given you. Each child is precious and they're all different. They give joy to your home. Be a comfort to your older ears. What will you do with this new land? Yes, you get married and then you have children to raise. A whole new land is before you when you move into a new community. Sometimes people, they get new jobs and they have to move to different areas and they need to be careful where they move to and where they associate with others. Not only do you have a new job, but new spiritual opportunities. The old has been left behind, and you face a whole new land. You have an opportunity to make new friends. You have an opportunity to enter a new relationship with a new congregation of new brothers and sisters in Christ. When you go into a new community, you should consider the influence it will have on your family. Not only did Lot enter into Sodom, but Sodom entered into Lot's family. He made a bad choice here in living in Sodom. There's some areas it's not good for Christians to live in. If we allow it, the influence of where we live can help or destroy our family. Sometimes in the city, there may be a bar on every corner, street gangs that can influence our children. And so we need to be careful where we live. We should be thankful in this area that things are as good as they are. In the new land where we live isn't what we want it to be, let's try to change it for the better. We can influence others for good. Also, when you become a Christian, a whole new land is before you, a new opportunity. A Christian life is the good life, happy life. Have peace with God and have that hope in heaven. You might ask the question what the jailer asked, "What must I do to be saved?" Well, you must believe and have faith in God. Hebrews 11 and 6, "Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Person must have faith. You must repent of your sins. Repentance is a change of life, turning away from sin to God. Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Acts 17:30, the times of his ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You must confess Jesus as the Son of God to become a Christian. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Acts 8:37, Ethiopian eunuch, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made that good confession. To be a Christian, you must be baptized to be saved. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting the way of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so a person must believe and have faith, and repent and confess and be baptized. When you have obeyed the gospel, you've been born again into the family of God. Jesus said in John 3:5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so if you want to be a Christian, you want to be saved, you must be born again into the family of God. Many people have desired to start over. But when you become a Christian, you begin a new person with a new life. It's a new start. Paul, after his conversion, had a whole new world. In Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Yes, his whole life was Christ, and he was willing to die for the cause of Christ. What are we going to do with our new world? Are we going to live a pure and holy life? Are we going to raise our children in the way that they should go, teaching them, training them, and be a good example before them? Are we going to be faithful members of the church, doing all that we can do? Help save other souls. In conclusion, Genesis 13:9, our text, Abraham said, is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, then I'll go to the left. Yes, Lot. Let's not be like Lot and make the wrong decisions. The future is before us. Let us not waste it as Lot did. Yes, he made a terrible mistake taking his family into Sodom. And many of his children died as a result of it. His wife turned into a pillar of salt. And so let's make good decisions. Let's be faithful to God. Be good stewards of God. We've already told you what you must do to be saved. And if you're here tonight and you need to obey the gospel, we ask you to come now while we stand and sing this song.